The frantic phone call came at dinner time. Can you meet us at the hospital? Our daughter had a seizure and she's not breathing. A few minutes later, I arrived at the emergency room. Neither the parents nor the doctor were in the cubicle with the youngest child. Instead, I found a nurse unplugging the flatlined heart and brain monitors. It was then that the Holy Spirit prompted me to do something I'd never done before, pray over a lifeless body. I asked the nurse if I could have a moment to pray. In a low voice, she whispered, "She's dead, you know." I knew, but I prayed anyway, asking God for something bigger than I had ever asked before. Then I went to find the parents. They were with their doctor in an adjoining room, but strangely, they seemed to be comforting him, not the other way around. The child's parents were talking to him about Jesus. About a minute later, we heard a scream followed by the sound of a little girl crying for her mother. That day, I learned in a whole new way that Jesus is still our healer. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you. You are such a rich, rich God, and we only scratch the surface with our relationship with you. I pray that you would speak deeply, deeply to our hearts this morning, that you are still a healing God. You are still the healer. Lord, give us the extra faith, the extra strength we need to own that in our hearts and in our own lives, that we can bear witness to others about this fact. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If I've asked you to read some scripture, if you'll come up to those two microphones, you guys can get started in just a second. So this was done by John Soper. That story, John Soper, he's a leader with the Christian Missionary Alliance, and it's quite a powerful story. It's a powerful story about healing. Last week, I introduced, here's the 50-some-odd different names and titles of who Jesus is in Scripture. And as I went through these and introduced these, remember, God's desire for us is to become more like Him. And then I introduced these different names about Jesus. And so there was some confusion, and my communication to you all is that, well, we're going to become like these. Well, I'm never going to become the sanctifier. I have never become the healer, the judge. Lord, help you all if I become the judge. That's not my role as your pastor. The indescribable gift, the way. And no, these are things about Jesus. So as we become more like Jesus and his other attributes, we desire to get to know him better. And there's a lot in a name, perhaps not in America here, but when Scripture describes Jesus by these different names, there's a different aspect that we get to learn about who he is. So that's my heart as we continue this series and learning more about Jesus. We're going to learn about him as healer. And before these nice folks read for us, the Alliance Statement of Faith says this about healing. It is the provision is made in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ for the healing of the mortal body. Prayer for the sick and anointing with oil are taught in the Scriptures and are privileges for the church in this present age. So let's hear. I think Jesus did a little bit of healing in his ministry here on earth, so we're going to go ahead and hear that. And both those microphones should be on if you all want to, however you all decide to do whatever you do, I trust you all.
Sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way.
And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Assyria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted and various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, and the paralytics, and he healed them.
Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed.
"But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, pick up your bed and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God.
One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." At once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked.
Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other.
Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all.
A great multitude of people who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for the power came out from him and healed them all.
Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment.
And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you have hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them."
"Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." And he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened.
And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction.
And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere.
When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing.
Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly.
And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, and the crippled, and the mute, and many others, and they put them at his feet, and he healed them, so that the crowd wondered. And when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, they all glorified the God of Israel.
And Jesus responded to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away.
"Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. Provision is made in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the healing of the mortal body, prayer for the sick and anointing with oil are taught in the scriptures and are privileges for the church in this present age. Is that a little overwhelming? Just hearing account after account after account after account of Jesus' miraculous, his healing hand. And I spared you all, this was going to be about a 10 or 15 minute exercise until I read it last night out loud. I'm like, no, that's going to be too much. So there's only probably about half or so of those accounts, and those are even shrunk down, not including the whole accounts of Jesus' healing and his healing ministry. That was a major part of who he was, what he did here in his ministry on earth. It wasn't just a time or two. Jesus was an incredible healer. So we're going to look at that here this morning, Jesus being our healer. So we're going to start here with Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 5. You all probably know this scripture very well. Isaiah writes, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Like I said, we're quite familiar with this prophetic passage about Jesus. So what is Isaiah prophesying? What's going to happen when the Messiah comes? What do we see here in the scripture? Let me just go ahead and just yell it out. He's going to pierce for our transgressions. Did that happen on the cross? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fulfilled. What else do we see here about Jesus? Despised and rejected. Certainly. He certainly was. Anything else? What's that? Struck by God. That can't be right. I'm sorry, Rona? We figured he was. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. Yeah, he took all of our sins upon himself. He brought us peace. And so, I mean, we could spend a whole Sunday. I'm sure a lot of, this is a great Easter Sunday message about what happened, or a Good Friday message. But the richness of Jesus' death extends far beyond a simple ticket to eternal life. We know that through his death, we were sanctified. We were set apart to God. That's who we were. We talked about that last week. Positionally, Ephesians 2, 6 says that we are seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. That's where we are because of Jesus. We don't behave like that. Some of us behave like that more than others. Our mind isn't quite there, but that's where we are. That's where Jesus sees us. We are sanctified. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you were here last Sunday night looking at our identity in Christ, we are a new creation because of the cross, because of these verses fulfilled. But also this last verse, and with his wounds we are healed. And so we think about this as far as sin. It seems we are healed. Let's obviously talk about our sin self, that sin part, our sin we are atoned for. We are reconciled with God. But if we fast forward to Jesus' life here, Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Casting out demons, healing all who were sick. And verse 17 is our key, which is why it's underlined. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Looking back at the same verse, Matthew 8 says that this was fulfilled. Not that he necessarily died for our sins. Matthew chapter 8, is Jesus still alive? Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty obvious. He's healing people. In fact, this is one of the first accounts of Jesus healing folks. The prophet Isaiah said that he took our illnesses. He bore our diseases. This is what Isaiah was trying to communicate as part of the grander picture. Like I said, it's a very rich, rich thing, Jesus' death on the cross for us. This is his identity, one of his many identities, who Jesus was. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. But I think often, much like sanctification, I don't feel like I'm set apart to God. Often we don't feel like, well, this isn't really what Jesus has done for us. I don't perhaps have this. Perhaps this isn't quite the truth. Hopefully those scriptures read here earlier, those 18 verses, man, Jesus is a healing God. He was a healing God. And he still is. We'll get to that a little bit later in the message. But before we're going to delve into a couple things. Well, why does God heal? But there's a problem, the sickness, the suffering. There's sometimes no healing. We'll take a look at those, because I'm sure those are questions on your mind, and we won't have time to fully unpack those. Those are messages inside themselves, but we'll touch them a little bit. But why did Jesus heal? Well, because of love and compassion. For God so loved the world. 1 John tells us that God is love. Jesus, he can't escape this love aspect of himself. Matthew chapter 9, starting verse 35, says, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So he saw these people in need of a Savior, these people in need of healing. Jesus, he had compassion for them. He was a very compassionate, loving God. If we go down here, Matthew chapter 20. Behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent, but they cried out all the more, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. They're asking for mercy. They're not necessarily asking for healing, but yeah, they're asking for Jesus' divine hand. And stopping, Jesus called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, let our eyes be opened. And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes. And immediately they recovered their sight and followed them. And I don't think Jesus, he didn't look down his nose, all these poor people, these blind people, these whatever, you and I, we probably do pity those who are less fortunate than us and not in a healthy biblical manner. But Jesus had compassion. This is a tough life. This is hard. Once again, God is love. Jesus heals because he loves us. Healing from the will of God, which is going to be key, because sometimes God doesn't heal. Sometimes Jesus doesn't heal. But one way God shows his love in compassion is with the healing hand. Why does Jesus also heal? Well, so there's the loving side, but there's also there's the glorification of God's side. John 9:33, we'll see this verse again. They were asking Jesus about this man, and he said, it was not that this man sinned or his parents. That's not why he's sick or ill. It's not the sin, it's not something he's done wrong, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. He is suffering so that God may be glorified, God may be honored, that God can be raised and lift up. God, they can point to God. Are we willing to go through the difficulties so that God can be raised up, God can be honored? Usually in the midst of it, we say, pass God, I'd rather not. But if you look back to Job, Job was a righteous man. He was a God-fearing man, God-honoring man. And why was he afflicted? Well, basically to prove Satan wrong. At least that's how my interpretation. There's probably more nuances to that, but God said, I'm going to prove you wrong with Job. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. He's not going to turn his back on me. And Job remained faithful. He had his struggles and wrestled with things. He had three idiot friends. So, you know, be careful of who you get to counsel you. Be careful of how you counsel others. Sometimes the ministry of presence is the most effective way to help somebody when they're hurting. We feel like it's nothing, but the most effective thing they did was to keep their mouths shut those first handful of days. And then they talked and things got worse. But God was glorified in that. God was glorified in Job. He was glorified that the works of God can be displayed in this man here, John chapter 9. What about Matthew 15? It says, so that the crowd wondered, but when they saw that the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. It draws people to God. Wow, look how amazing, how awesome you are. Oftentimes we get caught up in the mundaneness of life and we just look around, well, God isn't really doing anything, so I don't expect much out of God. But when God does some miraculous things, that's pretty awesome. That's why we like to hear those stories. We like to hear of miraculous healings like John Soper was privileged to be in. That's why I want to hear, you know, when God does something miraculous, please let me know so we can share it with one another, encourage one another. Because if we don't hear it, we just, oh, well, we're deceived into thinking, well, God doesn't do these things anymore. But he's glorified, he's honored. Luke chapter 5, it says, but that they may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise up, pick up your bed, and go home. Remember, this is the man who was lowered down into the home. This wasn't just to heal him, but from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, to show off that, you know, that he is God, that he has, he's glorified in showing that, man, he has the power to forgive sins. It's incredibly evangelistic thing. When God heals, whoa, I guess there is a God. I guess your God is real. The Holy Spirit isn't just some mystical power. The Holy Spirit is real. Jesus, he really is a real God. He's not just some carpenter son of man. He really is the Son of God. It points people to Jesus. These miraculous stories, it's really hard to deny a good God when you hear these stories. That's part one of the key things in my coming to faith, as you all have heard when Rachel shared that she had witnessed a miraculous healing. I could no longer, as an atheist, whoa, here's a woman I trust and she's not stupid. This actually happened, so God must actually exist. Completely flips your whole worldview around. Some people may or may not respond, but man, this is an incredibly effective evangelistic tool. The Alliance, somewhere in Asia, they use healing as an evangelistic tool. They say they go, they pray for healing, and when God heals, they say, you know who's the evangelist? This guy who's just been healed by Jesus. Because he's going telling everybody about what just happened. They can deny everything that's written here in the Scripture. They can deny, you know, Romans, the whole Romans road. They can deny whatever they want about Scripture. They're wrong. But when it's hard to... This person was crippled, this person was sick, this person was whatever, and now they're healed. Maybe there's something to this Jesus thing. God is using us. God uses these infirmities, whatever, to be glorified. He did the same thing with the disciples. He called the 12 together, gave them power and authority over all the demons to cure diseases, sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. I believe Pat was the one who read that. And they departed and went through the villages preaching the gospel and healing everybody. It was this preaching the gospel and healing. Jesus, I see this is often a hand in hand. Jesus is doing a both and. But you know, there's some problems. All of us recognize it as followers of Christ. In fact, this is, you know, one of the big pushes against God, against Christianity. Well, how could a good God allow, and you insert whatever? And it's tough. Why would God take a young mother, why would he give her cancer and allow her to go and have her die with young children? A car accident, or whatever else, especially, I'm sure you all in the medical field have seen, you know, tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. Lord, this makes no sense. In fact, you probably say, God, I can come up with a great list of people you can take home right now. But let's leave these people clearly. But God knows that list. He knows the list of the 7.5-8 billion people around this earth. He knows what he's doing. So so we have a problem with suffering, with sickness, with no healing. Big problem is, start out with, well, we're in a broken world. We're not here in this perfect world. We're here in a broken world. Romans chapter 5, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We live in a sin-stained, sin-tainted, sin-messed-up world. And so, yeah, bad stuff happens to good people. Bad stuff happens to bad people. Bad stuff happens to all of us because that's just a byproduct of living in a fallen world. I don't like it. My kids don't like it. When we're playing in the pool and somebody splashes you in the face, you know, stop it. Stop getting me wet in the pool. You're in the pool, you're getting wet. You're in the pool with kids. Kids are going to splash you. Kids are going to get you wet. We don't like it. I try to tell them to stop. I exercise my control, which I learned I don't have any, but I want to have control. But anyways, I mean, we live in this world, in this bigger pool. We live in a broken world, so bad stuff is going to happen. That's just a part of life, unfortunately. Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. But he doesn't stop there, but take heart, I've overcome the world. It may not be now, it might be later. In this world, you're going to have it. You're going to have these troubles. You're going to have these difficulties. Once again, going back to that, John chapter 9, verse, it wasn't that this man sinned or his parents. It's not because of this action necessarily. We just live in a broken, hurting world. That's why there's suffering. That's why there's sickness. That's why sometimes there is no healing. Why does the suffering, sickness happen? Well, spiritual growth. We aren't where we ought to be with our walk with Jesus. We aren't like Jesus. Some of us might be a little bit closer. Some of us might have burrs on our roughs, on our edges. We might have barbed wire. Some of us are still a little bit more messed up and broken than others. But God is trying to conform us into his image. And so the suffering, sickness, that can be a tool that God uses. You all know James chapter 1. You've thrown it at somebody probably when they're having a tough time. Or you've had it thrown at you when you're having a tough time. They're, hopefully the Lord in the right time has led you to that verse. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, so that you be complete, lacking in nothing. Sometimes the suffering, this sickness, is so that we can be complete and lacking nothing. It's that refinement process that's going on in life. We don't like it. We don't count it joy. Happened to the Apostle Paul, whether this was so Paul's talking about his thorn. It could have been a sickness, it could have been a person, it could be who knows what it is. I think the Holy Spirit is so awesome just keeping it ambiguous, a thorn, so it relates to all of us and all of our situation, because sometimes, man, that thorn seems like a sickness. Sometimes that thorn is your job. Sometimes it's a person. Sometimes it's whatever. It's traffic in Atlanta sometimes, right, Anna? Or you hopefully stay far enough away. I don't know. You know, but sometimes, man, this is frustrating. He says, a thorn given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. There's the purpose for the suffering. So God is allowing, he's sending us to keep Paul from becoming puffed up, to becoming conceited. I mean, unfortunately, with spiritual success can come in some worldly, some human puffness. Man, look at all I'm doing. I mean, the Apostle Paul, if anybody has a right to brag about, man, look at all this great stuff that's going on here, that's the Apostle Paul. He said, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in my weakness. God's power is made perfect in weakness. So God is using this to refine Paul, this thorn, this whatever it was. God wants to develop us into him. I'm sure you all have been sick and talking really, really, really sick. You get close to God, don't you? That bargaining happens. You start remembering, Lord, oh boy, I'm not where I ought to be. Lord, if you'll remove this, then at least there's that temptation to start doing those things. Or perhaps you make those, I'm going to be, when I get healed, I'm not going to take this for granted. I'm not going to do that or whatever anymore. It brings us closer to Jesus. Yeah, that's a good thing. What's another problem of sickness, no healing? Sin. Specifically, my own sin or your own sin. We don't help ourselves out. And once again, this isn't often. We saw John chapter 9. It's not because this man sinned. But here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in the context of taking communion, it says, let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For everyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. And you're celebrating, Lord, thank you so much for dying on the cross for me, your body broken, your blood spilled for my sin, and you walking in that unrepentant sin. And there's grace in God, but it's, at some point, his discipline comes in. So he says, sometimes that's why you're weak and ill, and some have died. My sin causes problems. I don't have a slide in there for this next point or in your bulletin, but you know what? All of us, there comes to a point where all of us is going to pass away. All of us are going to die. That's just the reality of life. Well, you know, we might be lucky to be part of that one group that finally gets raptured. Unlikely, if you're going to look at the whole span of human history. We got to die of something. I mean, it's just a reality. It might be the flu. It might be cancer. My understanding is most men die with prostate cancer, but not die of prostate cancer. That's just what happens when you get to be a certain age. You're just, you know, something has to give. So that's why there's suffering and sickness. But as we move on, so Jesus healed, but then he passes on the baton. The apostles were commissioned. It says here, and he called the 12 together, gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. This is while Jesus was still alive, and this continued throughout the book of Acts. The apostles, that they still healed. They still healed people through Jesus, through his power, through his blood. Because that's where the healing power comes from. They were healers. And so we have the same privilege here as followers of Christ, as the church. James writes, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And so we'll give you all an opportunity to do this at the end of the service, as we have our closing hymn. Elders and I will be up front if you'd like for one or all of us to pray over you. We'd love to do that. In fact, I mean, this is always, we're always available for this, so shame on me for not letting this be known more regularly for you all, but we're always here. We'd love to pray for you. Say, if you're sick, call on the elders, let them pray over you, anoint him with oil. And the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. This prayer of the faith, I believe, this is the elders' prayer. This is the elders praying with confidence that Jesus is going to heal, that he has the power to heal, he has the ability to heal. The elders know this, but it's always it makes you examine yourself. All right, Lord, do I really, really believe, or do I just... Anyways, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. This aspect of confession, because sometimes, once again, sometimes sin is our problem. Sometimes it's a matter of unrepentant sin. Sometimes it could be sin as a barrier, which is why the Lord won't use us as elders to heal. He says the prayer of a righteous person has great powers as it is working. God wants to use prayer. He wants people to be healed. He wants to be glorified. He wants to be honored. He wants people to be drawn to him. So as we close out our message, just a reminder that Jesus, he is our healer. Remember, why did Jesus heal? This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. On the cross, Jesus took your illnesses and he bore your diseases. Some of them won't be healed fully until we're with him. Sometimes he wants to heal them and cure them now. This was a major component of his ministry. The apostles continued this ministry. As a church, we have the opportunity to continue this as well. And so my desire as your pastor is that you would walk with greater faith that Jesus, that he is a healing God, that you would own this wonderful part of who Jesus is, his identity. We don't believe he's our healer because the Christian Missionary Alliance says you must believe this, because Pastor Brian says you must believe this. Well, there's a lot of scriptures that back up that Jesus was a healing God. We don't have to do a lot of maneuvering. Sometimes, if we're fair, if we're honest, sometimes you have to do a little tricky maneuvering to get to a theological standpoint. The Trinity, for example, is nowhere mentioned in Scripture. But we can clearly see that God the Father is God. God the Son, Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Trinity isn't mentioned there, but healing by Jesus is clearly mentioned. So as we close out the service, once again, I'm going to, as we go to our closing hymn, invite you if you'd like prayer for healing. Yes, Ramona. Yes, ma'am. That was John Soper. Yes. And so if you go on the Christian Missionary Alliance's website and you search for healing, it's probably like the fourth or fifth. It was part of an article from one of their monthly things. So, yeah, John Soper. And if anybody, I can email that out. We'll email that out as part of the newsletter if I don't lose this piece of paper. Thank you, Ramona. I appreciate that. So as we close, we'll make an opportunity for For prayer, if you would like prayer, you can come. If you'd prefer not to come forward, we can. We're always here. We're always available. Or we can come to you in your seat. We'd love to pray for you. So let me pray, and then we'll enter into this time. Lord, we are so grateful that you are a healing God, and what wonderful, awesome power that doesn't belong to us, but Lord, you use us. I pray that you would increase our faith, that Lord, your healing hand would be upon us as a church, that we would humbly come to you knowing that we can't do anything. We trust doctors, we use their wisdom, which you've given them, but Lord, we know that healing ultimately comes from you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Sin not in part, but the whole.